Welcome to the Serious TV Drama Podcast. I'm Scott, and tonight I am joined by, well, not my usual podcasting partner, but at least a threesome you should all be familiar with. I guess there are Mo, Larry, and Girly. Ha ha. Horrible. I knew I should have thought of something before I started this podcast. But you'd know them better as Vicky, Cade, and Jason. Hi, guys. How you guys doing? You can all talk over one another. Go ahead. I don't care. This is one time. It's fine.
Hi.
A cacophony of voices is awesome at the very beginning.
Do you know you've got us trained that way now, right?
Yeah, right. As if. So, as I mentioned, it's the four of us this evening. So we are again recording Dan Less. It'll be a Dan-free podcast. He won't even be making a surprise appearance at the end of this one like he did last week. I think Jason may have just a little bit to do with this, however. Do I understand correctly that you've actually encountered the man in person as of now, Jason?
Yeah. He slept on my couch last night. he was driving back up from his little get-together in Raleigh over the past weekend that he had with some other podcasting people that you guys know. We had pizza and drank some beer and took a walk in the rain and on the Big Four Bridge here in Kentucky. Got soaking wet, and then came back and watched The Flash. It was myself, Dan, and the doctor.
I was going to say, up until the end there, I was going to say, you had such a sweet little date with Dan. Oh, you had pizza and beer. You went out for a walk in the rain. When did the making out start?
We had our own special threesome that night, yes.
Oh, God. Oh, all right. Podcast is over. It's done.
This is why we don't let him talk about things besides shows.
Oh, yes. And by the way, welcome to podcast number 124.
Oh, look at that. Getting it in early. That's what she said. Anyway. So we are back here again to talk about, speaking of threesomes, we're going to be talking about a threesome of TV shows, the usual three, especially now that Supergirl is over. By the way, apologies for not including you guys in the Batman v Superman podcast I did with our friend Pat, but I just figured if we all did it together, it would be like a 17-hour long podcast, and I don't think the internet was quite ready for that. So I feel a little bit guilty that I left you guys behind, but not that guilty. So thought I'd say up front. The dead silence pretty much is deserved there. So
we are all fine with that decision. I was happy to hear it.
They're not all.
Yeah, we're good.
Anyway. We're good. All right. So with that unnecessary crap out of the way, I don't know why I brought that up. This is what happens when I don't work with a script. Let's get on to the shows that we have all watched. And screw chronology. Let's start off with the show, which is the reason we started getting together for these podcasts in the first place. So namely, I am talking about The Flash.
Up in the morning, slaving for bread, sir, so that every mouth can be fed.
Now, this week's episode was titled "Back to Normal," and you know it's an appropriate title because it's Barry's return to being a normal person. He's not a metahuman anymore. You know, as they show us in the opening, in that really great little sequence of, you know, as Flash and post being Flash, I guess. So I wanted just to turn it on to you guys to get your guys' feelings on the episode and the storylines overall. This was a bit of a change of pace, both figuratively and literally, I thought, for the show, because he's not the Flash, and so the show got the chance to actually take its time. It was a little bit slower paced than we're used to for a show like The Flash. Still not. We're not talking super slow here. We're not talking turtle slow. But still, you know, I like that we got to spend a little bit more time with some characters, especially some characters I think we wanted to learn a bit more about. So, since you didn't, I don't think you got a chance to be on the last podcast with us, Kate, so I'm going to actually hit you first here. Just your general take on, you know, the episode, and as far as just Barry dealing with not having his powers. So it became more about Barry Allen than it was the Flash, I thought.
Agreed. And I think one of the interesting things about this episode is, in the past we've had episodes where someone else's story was just used to move Barry's story along. They were just bits in his larger story, whereas this, interestingly enough, took a backseat where Barry was just part of someone else's story. Barry losing his powers actually helped the Harrison Wells story get propelled forward, getting this Harrison to come to grips with what he's done and realize he has a way to atone for what he did. You got to see Wally get more of a character development, that he just really wanted to meet the Flash. He wanted to tell the Flash thanks, and you almost get the sense this is going to spark him to be more than what he was, to try to work harder, because someone risked their lives and what their power was, gave away their power for his life. He's going to do more, which I think we'll see lead to Wally becoming a hero at some point. We got Jesse back, so we got to see Jesse Quick again, which was good, which also ties in with Harrison's story. So we'll see if she's going to be back on the team now. And it's almost all that problem before. It's going to be like she's going to have more of a part now. They're going to let her be part of something, as opposed to where she was just kept being pushed off and hidden. Because at this point, really, there's no reason for her to hide. If Zoom wants her, he'll find her. So let her be part. Let her be, because she has knowledge. As she said, she's got 5 degrees. She could be the smartest person in the room besides her father at this point. She could be integral to finding the way to get Barry back his powers. So it was a real interesting, it was a setup episode where we saw people change positions, move around, and it helped the fact that Barry wasn't the Flash. Because if he was the Flash, problem solved, Griffin Gray taken out, Harrison's rescued. But because he's not, and Barry having to be human, we got to see the other cast members become more than they had been, helping to make the whole team a better team at this point. So when he does have his power back, there's even a better team dynamic between everybody. Everyone will have more of a place, know more of what they can do, just making everything better in the end, which instead of the whole season where he's Barry needing to be faster to beat Zoom, honestly, he needs to be faster, but the team needs to also be more of a team and work together to find other ways to actually help him stop Zoom, not just amplify his speed, because that probably won't be the trick to doing it. It'll be something more where they all come together to make it work. And this episode puts that into place, and it's a good starting point for, I think, where we're going to go for the rest of the season.
Ooh, you kind of wore me out with all that. Is that what I do to you guys? No, just kidding, Kate.
Sorry.
No, it's very good, very good. Vicky, Kate brings up something that I wanted to talk to you about for a moment, and yes, I am taking advantage of the fact of your gender, but also it's an issue that we've spoken about a lot on this podcast over the last year or so. I kind of felt that for a change, the episode was really utilizing the female characters in a better way this time around. I mean, certainly Caitlin Snow gets used more than normal, and we got to see her play off of Killer Frost, who I totally forgot was being held prisoner, so I was delighted to see that she was in the episode, and saddened to see what ended up happening, though I guess it was inevitable. But also, like Cade mentioned, we got more of Jesse and her playing a more key part, although she's and doing more than just simply filling in for Caitlin, although that is kind of what she's doing here, but in a satisfying fashion. And even, I'll even say Iris has some interesting moments here, and we can see that they're building to something emotionally with her. I'm betting it's going to pay off in the next episode or two, quite frankly. So what did you think about how they handled specifically those three women and just in general? Because we know we tend to beat up the show a bit for how they have handled female characters. I mean, it's funny how we knock Arrow compared to The Flash, but I think Arrow has done a better job with female characters than The Flash overall. What do you think?
I was really happy. Like you said, I thought, you know, Caitlin had a good amount to do this week, you know, both as Caitlin and then Killer Frost, you know, facing off against her, you know, doppelganger. I was super happy because it's a lot more than she's had had to do for, I don't know, quite a while. I think the last time she had this much to do was when she was Killer Frost, when Barry and them were over on Earth 2. So yeah, like once again, I was super happy with that. And then I was also really glad to see Jesse step into basically Caitlin's role, but you know, she did, you know, more than that, because she also had her, you know, the dynamic that was going on with Harrison. So yeah, it, she, you know, has been, she had, I don't know, we haven't had a whole lot of her this, I think, you know, we got to see, you know, a lot of just how smart she is, you know, just the fact alone that she had 5 majors in college, including biochemistry. But it was good to see her contribute to the team in that way. And then, yeah, I thought Iris was, you know, pretty good this week, too. So,
yeah, I think they're definitely strengthening the Iris Barry stuff, and obviously because where they're going to eventually be going with that. But it was really our first real look at Jesse beyond being the helpless daughter or the angry daughter. You know, initially she's still a little bit of the angry daughter, but it's understandable. But she gets a chance to explain and acquit herself, and then we get to see so much more about her. And then you understand how this could be Harrison Wells' daughter, and that she is brilliant, quite frankly. So I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah, like you said, I think it would have been kind of easy to have her just be, you know, the angry daughter all episode, but she was a lot more than that. Which was a very good choice. I just want to say, when we had the stuff with Caitlin and Zoom at the end of Zoom, I was just like, oh my gosh, shudder, barf, oh my gosh, it's so creepy.
By the way, this may be one of the very few weeks that I will say that the actress who plays Caitlin Snow and Killer Frost, in my opinion, got the best line of the week. Of the night, when Killer Frost is critiquing Caitlin, and at one point she says, "Why hide the girls?" I rewound that. I was like, "Wait, is that the first time they've made any reference to even that part of the anatomy on anyone of any woman on this show?" It had to be a woman to woman to say it, but I lost it with that one. I thought that was great. but as Cade was saying, a lot of the focus of this episode, a lot of it revolved around Harrison Wells, and I think we all enjoy that, because no matter what part he's playing on the show, be it the Earth 1 or Earth 2, or be it Wells or Thawn or whatever the heck he is, we have consistently enjoyed Tom Cavanaugh as much, if not more, than anyone else on this show for the last 2 seasons. I think it's fairly safe to say. So this was kind of an interesting episode for him, and how he had to, I think at times, even restrain his usual nature in several situations, be it with his daughter or even when he was dealing with Griffin Gray in those scenes. So, Jason, I know, like the rest of us, you're clearly a fan of the character and the actor. What was your take on how, you know, that was handled throughout the whole episode? Because it really was, outside of Barry needing to get his speed back, the biggest thing in the episode, I thought, was Wells.
Yeah, he's always got this thing going on below the surface where you could tell, like, he's the smartest guy in the room and he thinks everybody else is just a bunch of idiots. You know, maybe not necessarily Team Star, but definitely people outside of his normal bubble, like Griffin Gray. Like, you could tell, like, he was barely just holding it in. Like, you're a freaking moron.
I was gonna say, I feel that way all the time. No, anyway, not on the podcast, just in life. Anyway, go on.
Yeah. You know, Harrison, he had a nice, he has some nice scenes. You know, he tracked his daughter down. You know, you kind of forgot, as Jesse brought up, that he had killed a guy. I'd forgotten that part this year. So, yeah, that's a good reason for her to run. I'm always wondering why he takes that big gun with him wherever he goes, and how come nobody stops him. It's a minor bother of mine.
Well, I think the gun doesn't look. I think anyone on the street is not going to think it's an actual gun because it doesn't look like artillery. It looks like something out of laser tag or a toy.
As the roommate commented.
Yeah. The laser tag joke.
So people might just look at him like he's a weirdo walking around with it, but he might as well be, you know, carrying like a 5-year-old's ray gun. It doesn't look like anything that looks, you know, that would be lethal. So it'd be weird. It's weird when you see people walking around with swords on their backs and stuff in certain shows and whatever. Go on. I'm sorry.
I just happened to mention that to Dan while we were watching the show last night. It's like, why don't people know we say anything about that thing? It's huge. But that's all I had to say.
Well, did you like the fact that they were holed up at Ace Chemical on the show?
Oh, yeah, I did. I mentioned that to Dan. I was like, oh, that's a Batman thing. It's a Batman reference.
I like that you're going to preface everything that you comment on. It's like, I mentioned that to Dan.
Like, I told Dan.
I don't watch the show last night together.
Does that give the comment more or less credibility? I mentioned that to Dan, and he said, like, yeah, you mentioned to the person who knows the least about the character from the comics. Okay, that's great. Okay. Anyway, no, I kid. Did you, I know you're also a fan of the original, speaking of the comics, of Jesse Quick. Did you like how they kept working in the Quick thing with her name or referring to her throughout this episode?
Yes. It doesn't, you know, it's not really being forced down our throats. It's just being tossed in there every now and then.
Yeah.
Like I can buy it when her father says it, you know, if other people start mentioning it too, you know, it might get old then, but.
Well, there is that moment. There is that moment when Cisco says, "Jesse, we're going to need some of that quick thinking of yours." And it's like,
"Oh, oh. Yeah."
And I was like, "Wah wah."
I was thinking about the Jesse Quick character when she brought up she had five degrees.
Mm-hmm.
I thought to myself, "Well, Caitlin just became expendable."
Oh. Because
they could just plug one in, take one out.
But yes.
I don't think that's going to happen, but.
Now I'm going to have to spoil the season finale for everybody now because I've heard that they're going to kill... Anyway. She sacrifices herself to kill Zoom. That's what happened. Sorry, everybody. Go watch another show now. Anyway. Am I silly for wanting to see... I know I'm silly for wanting to see this. So Barry doesn't have a speed, but he does have to eventually get suited up and help take on Griffin Gray, you know, even though he can only take one punch, otherwise he'll suffer or die or whatever. I kind of wanted to see just a moment of him trying to pull on that entire leather outfit because I kept thinking that's going to take a while to put on the kind of material it is. Oh, we have someone who dresses in outfits from time to time. I should have asked you about that, Vicky. I kind of feel that would be a pain in the ass to put on if you're not moving at super speed, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. And again, I can't decide if I really enjoy it or there's that little voice in the back of my head saying it's kind of stupid, but I still enjoy it anyway. The fact that when we see Zoom and he's got the mask on, he's got the awesome Tony Todd voice. And once he takes it off, it's like, you don't sound anything like that anymore. But you're not wearing a voice amplifier. You know, why does your voice change so much when you don't have the mask on? I don't understand.
Yeah.
But then again, I guess at the end of, what is it, Return of the Jedi, when Vader's mask is off and you hear him speaking, he doesn't sound anything like James Earl Jones either. So I guess maybe that's maybe their inspiration there, I suppose. Is there anything, you know, beyond that that you guys thought was really noteworthy about the episode? I mean, it wasn't exactly filler, but it didn't, I don't feel like there was like a million things to talk about here other than, you know, although I have seen some interesting things brought up online, so maybe I should bring those up and see what you guys think about them. And maybe it's just a flaw in the writing, or maybe they're just stretching things out. On one of the Facebook threads, I forget which group it was in, might have been the Jay and Jack group, not sure, not important. Someone pointed out the whole thing with the man in the iron mask. And, you know, and we're still dying to see if it turns out to be another Jay or if somehow they're going to pull off a surprise of someone we haven't thought of somehow. I don't know. But the thing that they've been doing is, like, he's been tapping on the glass and they figured out it's some sort of like a military code, not Morse code, but something similar to that. And someone said, why doesn't he just use his fingers and just, like, try to, like, draw letters on the glass or something like that? And I was thinking,
that would make it too simple.
And I was thinking, like, yeah, there really isn't a reason for him not to do that, because it's a glass surface, that would probably work. You know, if it was a stone wall, it wouldn't, but I think maybe the writers weren't really thinking too clearly.
Well, there is one thing. If you started to write on that and it's clearly visible, if you get interrupted, Zoom can see you've been writing on the glass. If you're just tapping, he can't tell you've been tapping. But he doesn't know about that.
Yeah, but Zoom has already made it clear he's not killing him because he's been keeping him prisoner all this time. So why worry about
the
that?
Other person he told.
He did also say that he'd kill him if Caitlin tried to free him.
That's true, but that's a threat, and probably an empty one at that.
I don't think he'd carry through. She's already figured out Zoom needs him, so I don't think he'd kill him just because Caitlin would try to help him escape.
All right, I mean, again, it's not like a huge flaw. It's one of those things where when you watch any TV show or movie, sometimes there might be a situation where, well, why don't they just do that? And then and the answer always has to be, well, then we wouldn't have a show, or then we wouldn't have a storyline or something, you know.
Well, they're getting close to the point where it's getting to be too long. If fans are starting to ask these questions, the storyline is getting to the point where it's gone on too long, and they need to wrap it up.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think we're going to get the reveal of who he is till the finale anyway, but it would be interesting if they get to it beforehand. But I'm going to say they're not going to. I don't see that happening before the finale, and hopefully it'll be something that will actually make us go, ooh, instead of like, it's what Jason said 6 months ago. It's what we all were agreed with. Yeah, we know. Yeah, Jay, big deal. The only thing at this point, if it is that, because I think we've all come to that conclusion, the thing that will intrigue me is, what does that mean for season 3? That's what I want to know. You know, and there will be an actual Jay Garrick, a real Jay Garrick, and not the fake Jay Garrick we've gotten here. Speaking of something, I guess, tangentially connected to that, because I think I got confused, even in my long-winded explanation in our last podcast, so maybe you guys can fill this in or figure this out. So the whole business from the previous episode with the quote-unquote the time remnant, which was essentially Hunter Zolomon going back and getting an earlier version of himself to stand in for himself in the future or something. It's even hard to articulate, quite frankly. Something that in this episode made me realize I might have had it just slightly wrong or misunderstood it slightly. I think when I talked about it last week, that the Jay Garrick that we'd seen all season long had been that quote-unquote time remnant. And now I'm thinking, oh no, maybe he just brought him back just at that for that last episode, in that last moment he was his stand-in, so to speak.
Yeah, I think he just used him to kill a Jay Garrick. I think that whole time it was the one who, because now you see him professing that he did love Caitlin, meaning that he was the one who had the bond with her.
I think
the deal was is he had to convince him, his past self was like, I just need to kill you. And that's why it was such a hard bargain, just to get someone who's going to just be killed. So yeah, I think that time remnant was just there for that last little bit as Jay, so Zoom could kill him. But I think the entire rest of the season, we've had Hunter Zolomon there as Jay Garrick, being around the team, getting to know the team.
Okay, so then the next question is, and thank you, because that certainly does make more sense. And we won't get into the whole, but if you kill him, I tried to explain as good. I came up with a bullshit explanation last week. I'll just stick with that one. So, So when we go back to that episode when, quote-unquote, Jay takes Caitlin to the park to see Hunter Zolomon of Earth One sitting on the bench, so there is that other person, right? That person does exist then on Earth One.
Yes, I think so.
Mm-hmm. Is he not going to play a part in any of this then?
I'm still not sure. It really is. I'm still wondering. It confuses me because that was such a thing to drop that it still has to play somewhere in. If it doesn't, then it's just like, why did you do it? I understand. Oh, it's a big thing. There's two. But still, I think he does play some part somewhere. I just don't know what it's going to be.
Yeah, I kind of hope so because it's getting to a point where, you know, I think we all really like the show or love the show or whatever positive adjective we like to use. But if folks like us are getting confused by things or having problems kind of explaining things, I hate to see what it's like for a lot of other people. Because I'm from reading things on some threads, some places, where like, the show is losing me. It's making less and less sense from episode to episode. And I've kind of given up trying to explain things online. I was like, I'll just say it on the podcast, or I won't say it at all. But I love the time paradoxes and all that stuff, but you do get into a certain point where it goes, okay, I'm starting to have a problem trying to explain the fuck out of all this now. It's getting to be a bit much.
I agree.
I'll say something else which is a little surprising. I didn't expect to be positive about it. Maybe it was just me. Although he was just there as a pure one-off, use him and lose him kind of a villain. I was actually more intrigued by this villain because of his problem than I had with other, you know, similar one-off kind of villains. Was I the only one who actually sort of kind of liked it, or am I being too nice for a change? I don't know.
No, I think you're right, because this villain, unlike being some other villain who got more powers, was just an 18-year-old high school kid who was just trying to live his life and got affected adversely, and there's more pathos to his villain than any other villain, so that automatically builds an extra level of interest to you, where you're kind of like, he'd take a second to let them help him, as opposed to keep fighting, because you almost want the kid to get better instead of what happened. So immediately, it makes a better villain than what we usually get, like Tar Pit or whatever his name was.
Yeah, of course.
Ugh. I have to say, I hated the villain. I did not like him. Did not care about him one bit. And I found their solution to getting rid of him, you know, it's not exactly the best solution, which was just, you know, let him punch himself out until he's dead.
Yeah.
That didn't seem like much of a solution.
Unusual. Yeah. I thought it was kind of not quite in character, but I kind of understand because they're a little limited in what they could do just because Barry was human, not a meta.
Well, they kind of establish in the episode that they can't help him. I mean, if the smartest guy in the room has just said he can't help, then he can't help. And if they can see that every time he does anything and his metabolism increases, he ages. Well, guess what that means? Guy's gonna die. Doesn't matter if it happens in a day or a week. He's going to die. You know, even if it's just the action of walking across the room, it's eventually, you know, he's going to age him. He's going to die. It's Benjamin Button. You know, that's what's happening here. So could they have tried to do it in a nice way and just let him wither away in a cell? I suppose, but would that have been satisfying to anyone? That would have just been fucking bizarre. This was a TV show or a comic book. So I like that they came up with a rather novel idea and that was the most simple way to deal with it. I did not have a problem with it. I enjoyed it. I enjoy that we're disagreeing about it. But I'd rather see this episode and this villain, the villain aspect of this episode, 1,000 times more than the stupid the guy whose name I'll never even try to pronounce, the Potomac guy, whatever his name was. Tutankhamun. Yeah. or Pokemon, or Pokemon, or the Bug-Eyed Boob, or any of those. I mean, far more just compelling because of the instantly tragic nature. You know, I always kind of like the villains that have that horrible tragic nature to them, and you know, you kind of like, oh, but if only you could stop doing this and you could get help. And but in this episode, it's clear, like, yay, can't help you. And I love that he actually picked up on that. That he was smart enough to know, like, yeah, I've already picked up on the last half hour. You've just been diluting the same thing. He already kind of knows what the answer is, which means there's no answer. So I kind of like that. But no, it's fine. We can disagree. I didn't care about him that much. Let's not go too crazy here. Beyond this episode, did you? Oh, you know, there is one thing we should talk about before we move on. Unless you have something else that sounds like you wanted to say something.
No, I was just going to say my one big note, like, that's all caps and, like, exclamations was from the episode. Like, sure, great idea there, Wells, to recreate the explosion.
That's exactly where we were going. That's why we had to bring that up. Because that's the big deal, the big thing. The next episode and the rest of the season is the solution to getting Barry's powers back was recreating the accident that caused it. What's really interesting about that, just to get geeky for the moment, and then we'll flip back to it, that sort of kind of reminds me of the comic books in a lot of regards. Because there was, on any number of times, they were trying to recreate the circumstances that created the original Flash, which was, you know, the bolt of lightning hitting the, you know, the chemicals that splashed on them. And actually, I think back in the early 60s, that's how they actually created Kid Flash, which I always thought was like, really? His cousin, or, no, excuse me, nephew? Is it nephew or cousin?
Nephew. His nephew.
His nephew gets his abilities in the exact same way. I mean, yes, I know they came up with a goofy explanation for it like 25 years later. I don't care. They didn't think of that back in the early 60s. But I like the idea of the show saying, okay, we're going to kind of do that, almost in a weird homage. We're just going to recreate the particle accelerator thing. Is it an insane idea? Yeah. It's an insane idea. But this, since there's going to be a mass murderer who's about to take over the world shortly, maybe it's not such a crazy idea when you compare it to Zoom showing up. And there's something really smart about it, too, because two things. Number one, if you do another particle accelerator accident, then, okay, you have a new excuse and a new reason to create more villains, quite frankly.
Yeah,
because you know that's gotta happen. Because at a certain point, you guys are like, haven't they run out of people who happen to be hit by that wave? Guess what? There's gonna be another one. And number two, I think we're gonna see at least one or possibly two future speedsters as a result of this, other than the Flash.
Definitely.
I mean, you got them both zipping around here. You got your Jesse and you got your Wally. If one or both of them doesn't get speed somehow because of this, I don't know how they're going to pull that off. So I kind of think that's going to happen. Of course, I could be totally wrong because maybe they don't want to have a bunch of speedsters on the same show. I don't know.
Yeah, I think they're actually going to go with Jesse. Just by what Cisco said earlier in the season, on whatever her name was. Whoever that female speedster was. And he said, oh, finally a female speedster.
Trajectory.
There you go. Trajectory.
Such a stupid name.
I think this is going to be one thing where everybody thinks the show is going to go one way, but they're going to go another way. Like, they think they're going to be Wally, but it's going to actually be Jesse instead.
I think that's a great prediction. Oh, look at you. See, Jason, that's the one thing. Jason's excellent with the predictions. So I really like that one. I think that makes so much sense. It would be crazy if they don't do it now.
That's why I'm here.
I think it will be Jesse, A, because I think Wally will get speed powers from something else. His whole working with that science about the speeding an engine, I think he'll actually give himself speed in a different way. So that would be good for Jesse to get it this way. and then Wally get it some other way next season. Not even worry about giving it to him this season.
Mm-hmm. I've got something. I'm thinking about something for Legend of Tomorrow, too, but I don't think I'm going to share it just yet.
Aw, that's so sad. Did you guys see the ad for the next episode?
I did, and I want to bring something up. Why is Barry wearing the suit? When they're strapping him in that device, why does he have to have the suit on? There's no reason for that.
So he can go right into action or something?
I guess. Otherwise, yeah. I'm just like, he doesn't need that. He got the powers the first time when he wasn't wearing a suit.
He likes the feel of leather?
Unless the suit... Well, hold on. Last time he got the powers, he also was in a coma for, what, 9 months? Maybe the suit will help prevent that part of it. Thereby, I've just answered the reason why he's probably wearing the suit. I've solved my problem.
They built something else into the suit.
It's very... I mean, come on. That suit is getting upgraded almost every episode, it seems now.
Yeah.
Got that tachyon accelerator, and now it's got that dwarf star thing on it.
The dwarf star chest plate.
It's got those, yes. It's got those future yellow boots. And anyway, so still holding out for him. Real yellow boots, not that bullshit.
I would really love it if the boots, they did yellow boots. I think that would be a... It would make it. It would make the suit work really well.
Next season. But other than the fact that he's wearing his outfit in the machine, which of course was the thing I was getting to. No, we're going to see Henry Allen again. We haven't seen Henry Allen in a while. Kind of a big deal. All three of Barry's dads are all going to be on the same episode. So I'm kind of curious.
The episode should be titled My Three Dads. That would really sell it.
Well, I got news for you. No, just kidding. They didn't do that.
No.
But, you know, maybe we'll use the old theme music from My Two Dads for next week, or Three's Company or something. I don't know.
Next week's villain looks visually interesting.
Yes, I know who it's supposed to be and the little Baxter, but I'll probably should just say that for that podcast, because you know, we're already running a little longer on the Flash here. You know who it is, right? You probably know already. Do you not know?
No, not really, but I could look it up.
Yeah, you got the Google. You know, you can figure it out. Alrighty then. I think we have zipped through the Flash well enough, I think. I've already mentioned how sad it was to see Killer Frost bite the dust. I wish they could have figured out a way to keep her around, but you know, I guess it makes some sort of sense. So we'll just have to live with her not being on the show anymore. So I guess now we can switch to the other major single superhero show, although there's a bunch of characters on it that are heroes as well. And of course that means I'm talking about Arrow. Now, tonight's episode, which I believe the three of us have seen, because Cade had to depart. Good night, Cade, wherever you are. Was titled Canary Cry. So basically, this is the episode dealing with the aftermath of the death of Laurel Lance. Which is a shame that Cade hasn't got a chance to watch this, because of how outspoken he was in that podcast about killing off Laurel Lance before. So I'm going to go right to you guys about this one, about how you felt about it and the overall story. So I'm feeling, Vicky, you might have something to say right off the bat about this one, so I'm going to go to you first, not because I'm being chivalrous, just because I feel like it.
Yeah, no, based off of the emoji I posted on the thread on our group.
Yes, I think I saw a shivering, crying kitty or something. It was very... It scared me more than anything I'd seen on TV in the last few weeks. So what were your thoughts on this one? It's kind of an interesting episode.
You know, obviously it was dealing with, you know, the aftermath of a character death, so it brought on all the feelings. You know, they had the big emotional scenes, and I'll fully admit I got a little teary-eyed at one point. I think it was at Laurel's funeral at the end. But no, I really enjoyed it. Obviously, you know, I still have my issues with the decision to kill Laurel. You know, I think maybe if they were going to justify it at all, they shouldn't have done it in this episode. They should have done it when she actually died. It felt maybe like they were trying, you know, they're trying to cover their tracks just a little bit. Hmm. But it was interesting because, you know, they opened it up with a funeral, and you thought it was Laurel's, but it was actually Tommy's. The lead up, you know, everything that followed from that, Oliver was supposed to give the eulogy at his funeral because, but then he didn't show up because he thought that he failed Tommy. And so then he and Laurel later discussed that, and we saw Oliver leaving for the island. Right. But it was some good mirroring, because, you know, that they're both people who were super important to the main character's lives. I think my favorite part of the episode, well, I don't know if it's favorite, but one of the best parts that was, you know, the part that was done the best was Lance and his struggle to come to grips that she really was dead and she wasn't coming back, and there was no method of recourse to bring her back, because it's really hard to accept that your child is dead. You know, you're not going to see them again. And then he got that little spark of hope when they saw, you know, the canary running around town. But he had to actually, you know, be face to face with her dead body in the morgue. And even then, you know, Nyssa and Oliver had to drill it into him that no, the Lazarus pit is gone. It's been destroyed and we can't bring her back. And then he had to, go tell his wife that, you know, the same thing, because she was like, oh no, Sarah, we thought we lost Sarah. We thought she was dead, but she came back to hug her, you know, she came back to us. So, you know, maybe there's a chance that Laurel will come back.
Well, if you look at the episode from beginning to end, it's very simple what they do with Quentin Lance. They go through the five stages of grief with that character. So if you go back and you go back and you watch the episode, anyone does that, that's exactly what they do. It's all five stages, all the way up to acceptance, which is him, you know, when he's speaking to his wife or ex-wife or whatever at the end. We go through denial, we go through bargaining, we go through anger, we go through the one I'm forgetting, and we go through acceptance. So I agree, although sometimes that actor can be a bit of a ham on the show, I did think he was really strong in this episode. There's also something kind of, I don't know, kind of a catch, not a catch 22, what am I thinking? What's the thing, phrase I'm looking for? Can't think of the right phrase. Kind of a good thing, bad thing with the flashback. The good thing was, hey, look, they gave us a flashback story that we actually give a damn about. I can't remember the last time that happened. The bad thing is, hey, you know, there's some stuff about this flashback which don't make a lot of sense if you actually watch the end of season one and the beginning of season two. Wait, what? How? But wouldn't she? Why isn't she? What? I was kind of confused by that. I was one of those things. I want to just let it go, But it's not like these episodes that aired like a million years ago. It's just a couple years ago. How do you forget that? So I'm kind of a little bit troubled by that. We kind of had a little bit of slight revisionist history with the post-Tommy death Laurel and Oliver here, I thought. Jason, do you want to comment further on that and other stuff as well?
I don't recall exactly what happened at the end of season one. I don't really know if he actually goes back to the island at the end of season one. Did that really happen?
I don't remember if the funny thing is that I don't remember if he specifically did that or not. I don't recall.
Because that wasn't it, you know, at the start of season two, they're like, Oliver's gone back to the island. We got to go get him.
I'll take your word for it. That's the part I don't remember, but that's not even the thing I was thinking of.
You're getting so old. I don't remember that.
Laurel's bitter. After Tommy's dead, Laurel becomes a drunk. After Tommy's dead, Laurel's blaming everyone, especially Oliver or the Green Arrow, whatever. After Tommy's dead, I saw no hint of that Laurel here. So I guess the impression is after he leaves and gets on the plane and she reads a note. At some point after that, she starts hitting the sauce, and her life starts to fall apart. But she seems pretty, you know, good and in a good place before that. It seemed kind of incongruous to what we had seen before. Again, which is too bad. It's a shame because I really liked the story. I mean, I liked seeing her. I thought those scenes were pretty good. But there was always that voice in the back of my head going, But wait a minute, this doesn't make sense, because that was one of the things that really annoyed me about season two, what Laurel becomes as a result of Tommy's death. So it seemed a little weird to me, that's all.
Yeah, I agree with you. I enjoyed the non-island flashback, but I had the same problem you did, which was this does not seem to track with what really happened from before.
Yeah.
With that character. You know, I don't recall her sitting by the fire and kissing Oliver after that was over with.
Yeah, that was.
That did not seem like that character.
It just didn't seem like it would have happened just based on what we saw. That's all. Because, you know, Tommy dies at the end of season one. And when we pick up at season two, you know, she's like her father now. So, I mean, well, I can say this happened in between. It's like, okay, but that kind of sucks. I don't know. It kind of bothered me. I'm not saying it's a huge mistake. You can kind of, I'm sure that's how the writers will explain it away. It's like, yeah, she went through this, and then she went through that. It's like, okay, I guess it's not Melisandre's wearing the necklace or not on Game of Thrones or something. But do you have any idea what I was talking about when I just said?
Game of Thrones?
Do you watch do you watch the Game of Thrones?
I do occasionally. No. I don't have it. I haven't watched it this year, but yeah, I've watched it before.
Jeez. Anyway, never mind. Jeez. Join the
Zen. I've seen one or two.
Oh, the two of you. My God. All right. Anyway, I'll say one of the other things I kind of liked about the episode. I like seeing Nyssa show up. Is it Nyssa or Nyssa?
Yeah.
It's Nyssa, right? Nyssa. Yeah, I always mispronounce
it. I thought it was Nyssa.
Who the fuck cares?
I don't know.
Ra's al Ghul's other daughter shows up again. But I like the scene with her and Quentin. I thought that was a nice little scene for her. I liked seeing a vulnerable side to her that was believable and not like overly melodramatic. I thought it was really well done. The storyline about the one of the people who I guess Damien Dark had been keeping prisoner, was that it? Like she had been, her family had been, was it her family had been kept prisoner and died, but she wasn't. Is that what the story was with her? Do you guys remember from earlier this evening?
I don't recall. I do not recall. No,
Vicky, it's all on you. Do you remember?
I don't know.
We're like the worst Arrow podcasters ever.
Awful.
This is why no one listens to it. Anyway, I didn't mind that. It was interesting up to a point. She look. Hey, you know what? She looked good when she did the Canary Cry. Give her credit for that.
The new Canary, yeah.
Yeah, but that's not going to happen again. I'm sure. Okay, let me get back to being serious here. I thought there was a lot of strong performances in the show. I thought Diggle was really good in this episode. I thought we had a lot of great emotional moments with him and him blaming himself because, yeah, it is his fault. Anyway. and I liked Felicity in this episode. And the fact that we could have an episode that was pretty kind of sad and she still gets off a great line. You're just one illegitimate child away from an awesome Oliver Queen impression. And I went,
I love that.
Oh, that's such a great line. Kudos to whoever came up with that one. That line alone made me think there's hope for Felicity and Oliver to get back together if you care about that sort of thing. And maybe I did a little bit. Can I say, though, for a moment, oh, and thank God it was just a very brief moment. For a moment, I had a sudden fear when the first time you see some unknown blonde as the canary doing that thing, I went, please don't let that be Felicity. Oh, please.
No, I knew there wasn't a chance.
That would have been ridiculous.
Not a chance.
Not only can she walk again, she can jump on a car. But, but it would have been kind of funny. So let's go to the funeral. The funeral that we've been, you know, been hinting at all season here. I will admit I got a little, I did feel a little teary at Oliver's eulogy, and I really loved that he decided to out her as the Black Canary at the funeral in order to preserve her legacy. And I thought that was a real, it was something, it didn't, I liked the fact that it didn't occur to me, but when it happened, I was like, oh, of course it's what you would do. That makes perfect sense. I kind of enjoyed that. And I love the reaction of the parents. I love Quentin I guess her name is Dinah also. Oh, So
on the tombstone,
is that the first time they've established that her actual first name was Dinah? Is that what they just did here?
No, I remember back in the beginning. I think they said, but yeah, it hasn't been mentioned in forever.
I totally forgot that. Oh, you should have reminded me on every single podcast. I groused about that. What's wrong with you? It's always annoying me. I'm sorry, my canary's name is not Laurel. It's Dinah. Now if I know her name was Dinah all along, I'm like, oh, it's the David Bruce Banner thing, or Bruce David Banner, or whatever the hell they did in the stupid TV show back in the 70s, which pissed me off. I was like a really angry 7-year-old.
This is where Dan should drop the piano in the background. Dun, 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 dun.
Oh my God.
You can relive that anger every Saturday on MeTV. They show all the old comic book shows.
Oh, but they are the, but the Hulk wears cool jeans and not even purple. But I like the funeral scene. I was confused about a couple things, but not serious confusion, just more silly confusion. Like, okay, so Barry shows up, like we'd seen before.
Yep.
And you know, his excuse for not being on Zoom, it's like, yeah, you know, whatever. Now, obviously, this takes place at a different point in time, since Barry's got his speed. So these shows are not happening at the exact same time. That's fine. I don't care. It would be kind of weird if they were taking place at exactly the same time. Why would they? But here's the thing I thought was a little bit weird. So, okay, Barry shows up late for whatever reason, you know. Nobody else from you know, Team Flash shows up at our funeral? Or were they all busy with Zoom, I guess? And the only reason he's there is because he can move fast. Is that the explanation I got to go with to explain why Cisco wasn't there, for example?
I guess that's going to be the excuse. That's going to be the only thing they can do. Otherwise, they just look like jerks.
Pretty shitty. pretty fucked up explanation, if you ask me.
Yeah.
They're all killed.
Should have had Constantine show up. Anyway. Could they just digitally CGI Constantine into the crowd? It's funny how I keep mentioning Constantine on all these podcasts. I don't know why. It's like kind of a weird thing for me.
You're trying to make it happen. That's what's going on.
I know. I am. You know, I figure if Fox can renew Lucifer, then we can get Constantine back on.
Yes.
So, overall, I think this episode on an emotional level was good. Cause I did like the feels, and I thought those scenes were fairly strong. I don't know if the show really did much else, but I felt I was still kind of satisfied by the end of that he's going to have to... The resolution that we saw, you know, at the beginning of the year, I guess, you know, that he's going to kill him, I kind of liked the Felicity wants him to kill him too, which we had already seen as well, if I recall. But I guess I liked the episode enough. Did you guys feel that way? Did you guys enjoy it, or did it leave you...
Oh, yeah. Eh? Yeah, I thoroughly...
Even Barry was okay. Even Barry was okay with him killing him.
I know. I was.
Did it seem...
Barry's just like, yeah. And he threw his head back, like, yeah, and then he ran off.
I gotta say, though, this is gonna sound so good. I kind of wish Barry had just walked off. Him zipping off like that just looked a little weird. At this somber moment at the graveside, all of a sudden, zip!
Especially since he actually walked in, and then, yeah, he just zipped
off. Yeah, he didn't zip there to begin with. So, it didn't make sense. I'll let it go. I guess I sort of enjoyed it overall. I would have liked a little bit more Thea maybe in the episode, because I always thought Thea would look at Laurel as kind of like a big sister, sort of. So I thought that we would have had a bit more with her, instead of her hanging out with the, what's his name? The campaign guy who now I guess works for the new mayor. Oh, I liked her. I liked evil mayor.
Oh yeah, Ruvay.
But I got a question. Putting aside the questionable, it being a bit questionable having Diggle smack her the way she did, which made me kind of go, ooh. Okay. So that whole scene, which goes on for, it seems, for like at least a few or several minutes, between Arrow and Diggle by the car. So they're just having this entire conversation, and is she just back in the car? Is that where she's
chilling?
I know.
Did that seem like the most poorly planned out? Did the writers not really think of, like, oh, we'll just leave her in the car? I mean, sure, she'll hear the entire conversation, because why wouldn't she? You're right outside the car. But the whole thing just seemed weird. If she'd gotten in the car and all of a sudden the car just drove off, that might have made sense. Although, but did he shoot the driver, or did he... No, I don't even...
What he shot the driver.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, he shot the driver.
Everyone's giving Batman crap for killing people in the freaking movie. You know? Meanwhile, Arrow rocks up a body count every week. That makes no sense. Anyway, I do like her, but that scene, the choreography of that scene didn't make a lot of sense to me, but nor does that stupid mask of his, but whatever. But and also, does Arrow initially have a voice thing and then he doesn't have it for the rest of the scene? Did you notice
that? Okay. Yes.
Just get rid of it.
What happened to it? Where did it go?
I don't want any of them to have voice things. I don't care. And just like we got with Barry at the end of the Flash episode when he meets Wally. Although Wally would be like, why are you standing all the way up there? What do you got or something? Why don't you come over here? But Barry's voice thing, it's like, it still sounds like you. You know, it'd be like if you were doing it through a toilet paper tube or the thing from Better Call Saul, which I'm forgetting what it was called. Jason, maybe you'll remember. Why would he not recognize Barry's voice? Anyway, whatever. we finished up on that show before. So, I'm kind of looking forward to seeing how he figures out how to deal with Damian Darhk, although I guess it's going to connect to the stupid flashbacks. And that'll be their excuse for having those stupid flashbacks. I just wish he could figure out a different way. You know, I wish some wacky magician girl showed up in town to help him out, named Zatanna or something. I don't know. I just... I hate those flashbacks so much. I don't want to have them anymore. Alright.
I've got one more note, and that was, I actually liked the new Black Canary. That was in this episode.
She looks kind of as a blonde.
I don't think we're gonna see her again as Black Canary. Do you think she's actually gonna take over the mantle as Black Canary? Do you think that might be a possibility here?
She still has the stuff, doesn't she?
If they're gonna do it, I think it would be her. I mean, I don't know if they're gonna make, you know, have another Black Canary, but it would make sense if.
I'm gonna agree with you guys. I hope they can wait till next season, then.
Please, yes.
Certainly. Yeah, I mean, we're getting towards the end of this season, and I'm gonna certainly a seed for next year.
And I'm gonna, and I know the writers won't do this because they can't, this is what they have to do. But I'm just gonna put in my request. Here's an idea. You know what she doesn't need? She doesn't need a mask. Could you just not have a mask? Just lose the mask. We don't need a mask. Black Canary, for most of the Black Canary, didn't have a mask. Doesn't need the mask.
That's true.
No mask.
I don't have a mask.
No mask. No Maz. Mask, no Maz. No Maz, no mask. No mask. Alrighty then.
But I feel like the show is missing like a younger partner. Everybody seems to be, you know, like in their mid-20s now. I know like Thea's supposed to be, what, 21 now?
Yeah, everyone's kind of like the seasoned vigilante,
yes,
quote unquote.
Because I want more.
So they got to have someone new to train.
Yeah, I want more teenagers on my TV shows. It's a great idea. kill me now. Horrible.
Yeah, and she even showed up at the funeral too.
Yes, she did.
Yeah.
I was glad you brought that up. Anyway, so let's move on to. Let's go back further in time to last week, and let's finally get around to talking about Legends of Tomorrow. Now, last week's episode was titled Last Refuge. This was the episode where the Pilgrim is going around trying to kill the younger versions of all the members of the crew. Do they actually refer... They don't refer themselves to any special name as a team, do they, on this? They've kind of missed the opportunity. You'd think one moderately witty member, like or Ray, at least, would have said something, like even like a horrible Super Friends comment or something. Although that would have annoyed me, but still, you'd think someone would have said that. Where's Sisko when you need him? So, this was a different sort of an episode for the show, yet again. Before we go into it, do you guys have a decent memory of the episode? Because it was a week ago, so you're forgiven if we were having problems remembering Arrow from just a few hours ago. So I figured, let me ask right now.
I watched it tonight. As a matter of fact, it was the last thing I watched.
Vicky, did you watch it more recently, or did you watch it last week?
I watched it, I think, maybe like Saturday or something.
Okay, I think me and you might be on the same... I think we watched it probably around the same time, so it's most fresh in Jason's mind. All right, good to know. We'll make Jason talk a lot here. or maybe not. Judging from my rather scatterbrained notes, which I'm trying to make some sense of as I'm glancing at them here, so I'm probably just going to have to ignore them. I think there was a lot to like in this episode. Although there was a lot of things that don't make a lot of sense in this episode as well, which I feel has kind of become par for the course for this show overall. There's stuff to like or enjoy, but there's stuff that doesn't make a lot of sense the more you think about it. Much more so than on The Flash, quite frankly. So, you know what? Let's get into one of the, and it, since it's the basic plot of the entire episode, maybe we should just get into that right now. So, the plot of this episode is the Time Masters have sent this master assassin called the Pilgrim, who has carte blanche, apparently, a license to kill at any point in time whoever her quarry is. She seems to be the one person who's allowed to do that, whatever she wants. Although, I do have the issue is, if the Time Masters are all about protecting the time stream and not really changing history, and this would seem to be the last sort of planet they would endorse. Am I the only one who thought that doesn't make a lot of sense for what they're all about? Am I crazy? Jason?
You're not crazy because you're essentially removing seven people from the time stream at one time. If they're going about trying to not make cause paradoxes, this would cause a pretty freaking huge paradox by doing that. If you imagine time as like Jenga, you know, you're taking stuff out, the whole tower will topple over after a while, right?
Right.
Yeah. Some of the explanations in this would got a little wibbly wobbly timey wimey for me. to borrow from Doctor Who.
Yeah, I mean, but it doesn't make sense. Because, you can take any one character. You know, let's say you remove Marty Stein from existence, which means you remove any scientific accomplishments he had. Or if he was a teacher, you remove his influence or his impact on any number of students, which might have led to any number of other things. Do you see what I mean? It doesn't make any sense. And if he, as Firestorm or whatever, if they ever saved anybody, and the same goes for any of the other heroes here, then those people aren't saved. So there's the butterfly effect is huge if you're removing someone from history, and if you're going to remove seven people, I was just like, it didn't make sense to me. We go along with it, but I wasn't really satisfied with their explanation about it. Especially if they're an organization that's like their cardinal sin is screwing with time, and yet your enforcer, that is exactly what they're doing. More so than even the people you're tracking down, quite frankly. So it seemed really weird. Also, why wouldn't she right off the bat just go after them as infants? Am I right?
Or that arbitrary storytelling.
It's like, yeah. I'm going to go after him when he's 11, and I'm going to go after her when she's 16, but I'm going to go after him when he's a baby. Wait, why not just go after all of them in a nursery? What difference would that make?
Why not, indeed? I don't know.
If so, you could have that conversation with Sarah and younger Sarah. Okay, so I'm just going to say, if they're having Sarah go in and save herself from the Pilgrim, why would they at least not try to obscure her face? Why? So stupid. Oh my gosh. Sorry, that really annoys me.
They give him that little amnesia pill?
Why would they let her interact with her younger self so much? Oh my gosh, sorry, this really annoys me.
Wait, why isn't she wearing the canary mask? Because that would cover up her face. Hey, who are you? I don't recognize you with that Harlequin mask around your eyes.
I realize this is, when younger Sarah asks, oh, why do we look so familiar? We're like family. Really? Really? Sorry.
This is what I wanted to hear.
That's my big bone to pick. It's like, if you're messing with your younger selves, it's like the cardinal rule of time travel. Don't interact with your younger self. And I realize that, like we said, they kind of play fast and loose with the rules here, but still. Oh my gosh.
Aren't they all, haven't most of them now dealt with their younger selves now? At least half of them have at some point. I mean, Captain Cold has gone back and talked to his younger self. Sarah here, and Marty Stein has dealt with his younger self as well. So it seems to be a thing they have to do, apparently.
I don't think Ray has.
Oh, but, boy, can you imagine how
that's going? Kendra's talked to her older self.
Ugh. Yeah.
Starting the Kendra stuff. But yeah, that was that whole storyline from the get go. It's like, yeah, you knew right there, like, yeah, that engagement ain't gonna last this episode. What are we doing here? This is just lame.
Like, don't get me wrong, this was a pretty enjoyable episode. But yeah, that just really annoys me.
I love this episode. I thought it was one of the better ones that they've had. Just because it's a one-off, and it felt good. You know, it felt away from the mythology, away from the villain. We're doing something different. So
I enjoy it, but it was a head-scratcher so many times, especially when I think Rip Hunter himself uses a phrase like paradox prevention, and all I'm thinking, but all you're doing is creating gigantic time paradoxes. Not even little ones, big ones, big giant ones. Massive ones, like killing Hitler is a baby big one, as far as I'm concerned. And your solution is we're going to keep them all in this weird safe house. Better hurry up, because and then you're starting to disappear from the time stream because his wife. Hey, the thing with the wife, I have to say, I guess that's the first indication of things maybe not going right, because Martin Stein's wife doesn't know who he is or something. Although it's hardly satisfying, since we don't really get that scene. We get it like almost in passing. Kind of like, oh, we don't want to bother getting the actress, so we just see her from behind or something. It was really strange. But at least they mentioned something that I think has been said in our podcast before, probably by me, that, hey, the deal was that they were going to come back, you know, at the point where they left. I love that. Yeah. I love that he said that, and that it's been kind of clear, like, apparently that's not going to happen, because, you know, Sarah would have been at Laurel's, you know, funeral.
I actually have that written down. I said, Martin asks an important question about returning them to the exact moment they left, and Rip deflects.
Now I'm kind of hoping they kill all. No, I'm kidding. I don't want them. I don't want that. I only want them to kill half of them. No, a third. So I'll tell you what I liked about the episode. I liked any episode that's not dwelling on the Vandal Savage stuff as much as some of them do. Although we know they're going to get back to that, and I'm just without any real spoilers here, I'm getting a distinct sense that they are going to wrap up the Vandal Savage thing this season, and that the second season is not going to be focused on Vandal Savage stuff anymore. That's the feeling I'm getting.
That's exactly right.
And that makes me very happy, because I feel like, okay, if we make this go on for more than one season, it's going to be annoying. And we're not doing the Fugitive here. Vandal Savage is not the one-armed man, you know? Because the repetitive nature is, oh, we're going to go try to stop something that he does, and apparently we're going to kind of sort of fail at it, and or whatever, I think has just become rather monotonous. So I'm happy to see them get away from Vandal Savage. I could be wrong, but you've heard that, or have you gotten that impression as well, Jason?
No, I've gotten that impression. Yeah. I feel like the second season is going to have to focus on
Rip and
his family
and other stuff. I think it's just going to be other stuff. They've been given a second season. They can do whatever they want. Let's finish this up, and let's hope I'd love to see the Vandal Savage stuff just be done. I wouldn't mind one or two other characters being done as well. But I'm probably not going to get that wish to come true, but I can still pray. But back to this episode. I'll say what they did really well. I thought the emotional stuff for most of the characters worked really well, especially the Jackson and his Jefferson and his father. Jefferson Jackson and his father stuff. I thought that was really nice. I really liked that stuff.
yeah, there's a lot of good character moments in this.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, especially because they don't. I always think he's one of the characters that kind of doesn't get enough to do on the show, and he seems kind of lost at times. You know, unless he's in Firestorm mode, and we know that doesn't get to happen as often as maybe we'd like at times. So I like that we really got into the fact of, you know, that he never knew his father. And so that was kind of an interesting moment. It's kind of one of those dreams of, if you could go back in time, if you never met your parent, you could have that moment. And the choosing, of course, everyone tries to do something to change history, I've noticed. And we all know it never works. You know, like, mm-hmm. kind of like when Snart tries to keep his father from screwing up and getting sent to prison. And he still ends up getting sent to prison for you know, Rip says something that time, what does he say? Not time corrects itself, but it's something like that. You know, kind of like
it. Time chooses the way it wants to go.
Yeah, something.
Time wants to happen.
Time wants to happen. That sounds like a song. I guess I like the episode. I didn't feel like beating this episode upside the head as much as I did the previous one. Because I was just so profoundly, while I enjoyed it, I got really angry at the Western episode. So I seem to be a bit more okay with this one, but I still want the show to be better. You know, I want Sarah to play off of someone that's not Kendra, quite frankly. I'm weary of the Rey and Kendra stuff already. I don't care. I don't care. I didn't feel bad for him. I was like, yeah, well, you guys shouldn't be together anyway. You guys have zero chemistry. You guys make Iris and Barry look like Bogey and Bacall. You know, that's how little chemistry I think those two have. Feel free to disagree, Vicky, because I know you're good personal friends with the actress who plays Kendra.
I'm not quite as harsh on her performance as you are. But I don't care about the Rey and Kendra storyline. I don't think I wrote a single thing down about it in my notes. that's how over it I am.
it's just who cares? No one cares. You know, the only thing that can make this less interesting is if it was a flashback on Arrow. That's how uninterested I am in it. I'll say one thing though. This is sound totally dorky, geeky again. The fact that I saw that a glimpse of, maybe it's the very next episode, that she's going to have a mace. And I was like, that's what's missing from Hawk Girl. She doesn't have that mace, even in the cartoon where she beats the crap out of everybody with it. So instead of just flying around like a dope the way she does on this show. So I'm kind of like, that's kind of one of the things that's been missing, because whether it be Hawkman or Hawk Girl, one of the major things with those characters, they always had these great, cool, antique weapons. You know, the ball and chain thing. Not ball and chain. What do you call that thing? It's not. You know what I'm talking about, Jason?
Mace.
Is it? Well, not the mace. Well, the mace is just one thing, but there's another thing where it's got the thing hanging off the chain.
That's a flail.
Look at you. Wow, flail.
Thank you, Lord of the Rings.
Oh man, I'm gonna write that down. Flail. yes, everybody. I actually just stopped the podcast to actually write down the word flail. Anyway, because you know, maybe if she had a freaking weapon, and she would just be swooping all the time. Although it kind of annoys me that she's on this ship, which apparently has the ability to make anything. You know, it's like something out of a Star Trek episode or something, or the most advanced 3D printer of all time. Why doesn't she ever make a weapon? You know, like a crossbow or a mace or a spear or all the cool things that the Hawks have used for the last 75 years in the comic books and the cartoons. Instead of just flying around like a moron. Or with a stupid stick. Oh, the fucking stick. The two of them. Like, no stick. No. Something that causes pain, please. What did you guys think of the stuff with Rory and his younger self? I thought that was also kind of interesting in this episode.
I thought it was pretty cool.
Yeah. It was really good.
I love that he was a little troublemaker even from a young age.
Troublemaker.
Yeah.
Burned his house down.
Burned his house down and I guess killed his family.
Yeah, why did his parents die?
It's interesting to see that he's kind of always been like that. But it was good to see him give a talking to his younger self. So,
well, it's interesting though that we've seen both Snart and Rory give a talking to their younger selves, but when Snart talks to his younger self, he does it in a very compassionate way, you know, trying to give him advice to make sure he doesn't get hurt. Whereas Rory's talking to his younger self, because his younger self is, you know, a little psychopath already, he's threatening him, you know, and end up like me, and I'm you, but I'm going to come back and, you know, I think he threatens himself, which doesn't make a lot of sense to you think about, like, what are you going to do to yourself? Yeah. Are you going to kill yourself? Doesn't make any sense. It's going to do a looper kind of a thing. But I kind of like that. I am pleased that they brought back that character. And I think, is it just me or have they kind of gotten away with something here? And I believe it. It works, actually. That because he was taken by the Time Masters somewhere else where in his own mind he might have been there for years, I guess. I think they established that in a previous episode. He seems a little smarter than he used to be. Am I crazy, or is Mick Murray not quite the weird dunder moron that he seemed to be earlier in the season?
It's called character development.
Yeah, he's not as dumb. He's not as dumb, but his character seems to have come back full circle to where he was at the beginning of the year in terms of giving off the funny one-liners.
Oh,
the quips.
Well, I want the funny one-liners, but as Vic was saying, but has... if it's more about character development, then he's evolved. So I think that's what's happened. He's evolved. He's literally evolved because he's actually gone from someone who probably had, like, you know, a 90 IQ at best. He might be rocking 110, 120 now. Well, maybe not 120, but maybe 110. No, just saying. the only other thing I could think about this episode that I kind of liked was... I liked getting into Rip Hunter's story. I liked the backstory for Rip Hunter, and I love the fact that it was after Snart making more than probably one too many snarky comments about that. I felt that was kind of getting repetitive with him, but I enjoy that, you know, it all gets laid out for him, and we find that more than I think we ever expected about Rip Hunter. So I thought that was kind of neat.
I did want to add one thing.
Sure.
I thought the effects with the Pilgrim were pretty cool when she was able to, you know, like, freeze time and...
Oh, yeah.
Was freaking awesome.
When they're all... when they're all firing at her?
Yeah, especially when they're all firing her at the end of the episode.
That was one badass action shot.
Yeah.
And... this is also, they finally get to do something we've been asking them to do for a long time. They get to burn someone to ashes.
Well, that's not exact. I guess it is. All right. We'll go. Although, what was funny about that shot, just to mock the show again, it's really cool with Captain Cold's ray and Heatwave's flame and everything, but... They showed either Sarah or Kendra. It just looked kind of silly because they're just kind of like just standing like, like if they were like, if one of them had like thrown something at her and it was like caught in midair, it would have made sense. But no, they're just kind of like standing there. Like that, where are those sticks now? I just thought it was a missed opportunity. Is what I'm saying. That's all. All right, so. Unless there's anything else about that episode, I guess the rest of the season. Oh, go on. I hear you.
I do have a couple things.
Go on.
I do have a couple of things.
Well, a couple things. All right.
Yes.
All right. So everyone, I thought we were going to end at an hour 30. We're not. Go on, Jason.
Number one.
Dream is dead.
Anybody catch what Rip's name is? His real name.
Michael.
Yes.
That could be important. I know, could be important.
Should we say what? I know why it is. Do you want to say why it is? Go ahead.
This goes back to the often mocked concept of Booster Gold. Because Booster Gold's real name is Michael Carter.
Yep.
And I don't know if in the comics, Booster Gold is actually his father. It's not Booster Gold is not Rip Hunter. But that's you know, who knows where we're going to go. That's kind of what I was talking about earlier with the concept I was thinking about and where season two is going to go.
Yep.
Number two, Baby Snart was dressed in black. I thought that was hilarious.
Oh my gosh, Baby Snart was too cute.
Yeah, that was hysterical. I love the Snart, the Baby Snart stuff with the and Sarah reacting to the kid was really funny. I like that.
The women just
melted. Look for the one with the horns. And then they just coo over him.
Now I know you guys kind of poo-pooed the concept of the orphanage, but I like that. I like the fact of the orphanage that there's a place there. The Time Lords don't know about.
I like the concept of the place. I don't like the, but the use in the story was stupid. Go on.
I feel like that's like a Doctor Who concept, more of a Doctor Who concept than like a DC concept.
Yeah, but I don't know. It just the whole thing is like, but they left them there. They're still mm-hmm. there.
They're still there.
But they killed the Pilgrim. Is there another Pilgrim? Is there...
They said the Omega sanctions were still in effect. So,
yeah.
I mean, they're still going to kill him whenever they're in the past.
Stupid.
If they go back in the past.
Stupid.
Now, for Ray's wife, have they ever mentioned what her last name was up until now?
Yes, I thought they'd said her last name before.
Okay,
we can pretend that they have. Maybe they haven't, but yeah, you can say what it is. Go ahead. I know it.
Anna Loring.
Yep.
Which in the comics, his wife's name is Jean Loring. I thought that was interesting.
And she goes bonkers in the comics. Anyway.
Absolutely bonkers. Stupid.
Well,
about the time I left comics.
and if Ray had been like this in the comics, it might have been understandable. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
I kid, Ray.
Yeah. Anyway. And Lance got to use his hairpiece again, just like he did. And I forgot to mention that Arrow, how he got the Arrow's hairpiece at the funeral. and Ray gets to say the Terminator line, come with me if you want to live.
Oh, I'm so... I don't know why those lines are just falling flat with me. I don't know. Maybe I'm just not finding them that funny. I don't know what's wrong. Maybe there's something wrong with me.
Or maybe, I like it, the fact that it's Ray saying it, because that sounds like it just seems like a Ray thing to do.
Yes, it does. Yeah. Anyway, I should be nicer to Ray, because you know they're doing a lot more shrinking stuff with this character than I expected this season, and I'm kind of happy about that. But they haven't shied away from that as much as I thought they would. So maybe, you know what, it's the Kendra thing. It's just dragged down that character for me, and it's so I blame her. That's right. Sorry, Vicky. I'm just kidding. All right, so I think they're I can kind of think they're speeding towards a conclusion on the episode. I forgot to see how many episodes there are of this season. I mean, I know obviously it's a much shorter load than our Flash because it started in January. So this was episode number 12. So I don't know if they have... I don't know how many episodes they have for the season, actually.
They shouldn't 16. Have very many of that. Oh, really?
16.
Oh, my God. There's like four more?
Surprise.
Three more.
Oh. Wait, three more? Mm-hmm. This was 13?
This was 12. Oh, I'm sorry. No, you're right.
You're four
left. Sorry.
Do your math.
Math. And
I was looking at the page. I had to page up.
and he's the one who likes to announce what episode number it is.
Yeah.
Oh God, four more. Oh man. All right. I really thought we were. In my mind, I was thinking two more. I was like, oh, it's a 13 episode mm-hmm. season. You know, next week's going to be the penultimate one, and then they'll deal with Savage. All right. Well.
Well, don't forget, the pilot was supposed to be one episode, and they broke it up into two.
Fuck them. Oh, by the way, speaking of, Mr. Pointing out little fun little facts and whatever, how come we're never pointing out all the wacky Easter egg things that are in Rip Hunter's part of the ship? How are you and Cade missing that stuff?
I haven't been paying that much of attention. Should I be paying more attention to it?
You got
now. I'm gonna look for it.
Now you got to go look for it. You want me to tell you what? Yeah. I'll just give you one, and it's not the first time it's been there. My apologies to all the normal people out there who aren't familiar with these characters. So just forgive me for like 30 seconds. Ma Hunkel's pot helmet is on one of his shelves, and we see it really clearly in this episode. You're going to have to go back and watch. It's there. It's right there with the eye holes and everything. So
really,
that's pretty amazing that they got the Ma Hunkel, the original Red Tornado or Red Tomato or whatever you want to call her. They've got the helmet in his office. Not his office. It's not an office, but you know what I mean. His spaceship den or whatever the fuck that
is. His room.
His room. there are other things I think have been there. Didn't see them in this episode. I think that might be where we might have seen the Sandman's mask in that has been in there. I think we've seen an hourglass, which might be the Hourman's hourglass. There's a lot of things that are from Golden Age characters that they kind of pop into his place. But they go by so fast, if you're not looking for them, you're not going to see them. Luckily, there are things on the interweb that point all these things out to me, and I can look like a big smarty pants and point them out to you now. It's not like I saw them. I'm not even paying attention. I'm playing Words with Friends while I'm watching the show. Anyway. All right, so I think we've covered everything and then some. So did we all kind of essentially like the episode, despite whatever silly flaws it might have had? I'm getting that impression we all kind of liked it for the most part.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it.
I liked it the most out of the three, actually.
Of these three episodes?
Yeah. The Flash, Arrow, and...
Okay.
I liked the best.
Okay.
I don't know. I want to agree with you, and then all of a sudden I have a vision of Ray and Kendra in front of me, and then like I can't get past that, and you know, I can't do it. I can't say it. Anyway, I can't say it, which is a good thing to say because I think I've said enough. So let's start wrapping it up here. If you guys out there enjoyed listening to this podcast, you probably enjoy joining our Facebook page. We're the Serious TV Drama Podcast. Like the page, join the page, and join the conversation. You can find us on iTunes the very same way, the Serious TV Drama Podcast. You can subscribe to the feed as well as rate and review us. It's always appreciated. I keep saying that, and our ratings and reviews haven't changed in months now. I mean, they're pretty good numbers, so I don't mean to complain that much. But really, we can't get like one or two more over the last like 3 months. It's aggravating me. Of course, now we'll get like a zero rating, and it'll piss me off. So maybe I shouldn't say anything. And finally, you can also find us on the Twitter. Our Twitter handle there is at STVD Podcast. That's STVD as in Serious TV Drama Podcast, where I send out links to the show as well as comment on things and whatever else people do on the Twitter. So it was great being back with you guys again. It's always fun to riff on these shows with the likes of y'all. So I'm sorry Cade wasn't here to say goodnight to us, unless he's not hiding the way Dan did last time, is he? Cade?
No.
I think he's fast asleep. Like we probably all want to be shortly. So thanks again to you guys, and I'll say goodnight to the both of you, and you can say whatever the heck you want to say here.
Adios.
Goodnight.
Good night. Whoa, wait a minute. I don't know if I'm the worst podcaster ever, but I might be the worst podcasting friend ever. Good Lord. We forgot to mention something in this podcast, which is kind of more important than any of the stupid TV shows we just talked about. Good Lord. It's Vicky's birthday.
This is bullshit.
Happy birthday, Vicky.
Thank you.
You know, if you know, if we had just one more voice here, maybe we'd sing happy birthday to you. But we don't, so we're not going to do that. I don't even know if, because we recorded on my birthday back in March, I don't even know if we mentioned it on that one, and I hope we didn't. But yeah, I'm glad that you were able to take time away from eating your superhero-covered cake to to record this nonsense with us. So again, happy birthday. I don't even know how old you are. All I know is that you're so much younger than me, it's going to make me angry to hear it, so don't tell me.
Yeah, I'm probably the youngest out of the group here.
Oh my god, you might actually... Are you still in your 20s? I'm going to kill you, Vicky.
Yes, I am.
Oh my god! Wow. Like I needed another reason to be depressed. Thanks, Vicky. No. Anyway, enough of that. Happy birthday. I hope you get some cool gifts and all that other stuff. And
thank you.
Thanks for being willing to record instead of whatever you might have been doing, you know. All right. So, back to the music.
Happy birthday, Vicky.
Thank you.
Such a jerk. Now back to the music.
He's the monarch of motion, the sultan of speed, the wizard of whiz, oh yes indeed. Go from here to China in a no time flat, beat the speed of light and you can't beat that.
The Flash,
meet the mighty Flash.
The Flash,
in a fight he'll smash. Justice is his aim, wears a ring with the Flash's uniform in it. When danger threatens, he'll switch in a minute.
The Flash,
meet the mighty Flash.
The Flash,
in a fight he'll smash.
The unbeatable Flash. The unbeatable.